This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Monday morning to you and yours. It is DPHRO. It is Rothenberg. We are right here with you on 98.7 ESPN. A very busy sports weekend. The Knicks play twice and don't look good in either of their games. The Jets play once and looked better than they've looked. The Giants play tonight. The Rangers win at the buzzer. The Islanders open up UBS and can't get a victory. Rick, there's a lot going on in the world of sports here in New York. And I say, before we start with anything, good morning. How are you on this Monday?
I couldn't be better. I could not be better. And there's nothing you're going to do today, taking shots at the Jets, that's going to put me in a bad mood.
First of all, I've been very kind. And if you remember, last Monday was as loving and welcoming and comforting as humanly possible.
No, you were great.
Yes.
You were great, but I can only count on that for so long. I'm just letting you know right now, off the bat, 5:01, Monday morning, Thanksgiving week, my favorite of all the holidays, that there is nothing you can do today that is going to put me in a bad mood.
Nothing. So do you? Are you trying to like tempt me into trying to make you miserable today?
I'm just letting you know, whatever you try, any of your tactics will not work today.
And firstly, shame on you for thinking that I would come in on a Monday morning with tactics to make you upset. So that's my first thing is that hurts me. And secondly, is it Thanksgiving weekend? Is that the reason you're in such a great mood, because Thanksgiving is days away and you can feel it on the horizon?
No. Well, that's part of the reason. But I texted you after the show on Friday. I don't like not having shows. I was kind of sad that we were going into the weekend. I was having that much fun last week. Milo's team wins on Saturday. Convincing win on Saturday. Our pick finally wins, so we're back, baby.
That's
back.
Right.
Like, that's actually, I think that's the tide turning, too, because they take Baltimore, thinking that Lamar's going to play. Turns out he's too sick to play.
That's a bad job by them. And you know they're going to have an excuse today on their show of, oh, well, you know, Lamar didn't play, and that's why. He was 50-50 when they made their pick. Like, we knew that this guy had not practiced all week when they made their pick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was listening to it. I was on my way up to Bristol, and I was like, oh, no, they're going to take the Eagles. They're going to take the Eagles.
Yep.
And then I could almost feel you starting to get a little anxious.
Well, I don't know if you heard when I was on with them, but they were just, well, who do we take? Do you like this? Do you like that? And I was like, for God's sakes, would you make a pick, please?
Well, see, that's the issue, though. And you're right. They asked you what's going on with us, is we overthink all these picks. They just willy-nilly. Oh, what do you like?
Oh, my God. They spend no time on it.
None. They don't even go into the show with a pick. I'm embarrassed for us, but we won. That's fine. But it feels like the tide is turning, like the good karma is starting to come our way. And then on top of it, and I'm not going to say anything about it, but you know what I'm most excited about. You know exactly what I'm most excited about.
I really don't.
No,
I'd like
you
to
do.
Hear. What
no,
are you,
you
most
do.
Excited about?
No, you do.
I don't.
Talking about a little team called the Houston Texans.
Oh. It's funny, and this is genuine. This is honest, okay? I completely had no idea of that this entire weekend. And then as I was walking downstairs this morning, I was like, you know, I think I might have lost our Survivor pick this week.
Yes.
Genuinely, that was my... I was like, I think I might have lost it. So I had the Titans, who were just abysmal. I don't even know who you took, but you won, right? You took Cleveland, maybe?
No, I got the game tonight. That's why I'm not saying anything.
Oh! Yeah, you're gonna win that.
You're still alive.
So I am still alive.
You are still alive, but...
No, you're going to win. You're going to win.
Well, don't say that. I mean, no, let's not get crazy now.
Well, let's get crazy.
Open your head above water.
You could try all you want, but you're going to win that. You're 11-point favorites. The Giants stink.
This NFL season has been crazy. It's been crazy. I mean, Cleveland beat Detroit 13-10. 13-10.
That was a with Tim Boyle. Football. It was a terrible, terrible football game. How about, what's the guy's name? Huntley? I thought it was, up until like game time, I thought it was the guy that used to play for the Packers.
No.
Bezenhout?
No, it's not Bezenhout.
Tyler Huntley, is that his name?
Yeah, he was with them last year.
Yeah. So I thought it was that Ricky Huntley guy.
Headley!
You mean Brett Hundley? Is that who you mean?
Yeah, the guy that used to be with the Packers from UCLA.
Yeah, that's Brett Hundley, yeah.
Brett Hundley, yeah. And just as the game was getting ready to go, I was like, wait, this is Hundley. This might be, this could in fact be a different man. And I was so angry at Lamar Jackson. Like, I feel like I need to, almost like a Florence Nightingale, spend time with him and give him soup and stuff during the week. What is going on with this guy? He's always
sick.
I don't think they know.
I guess they're going to start running a bunch of tests to see what's going on.
I mean, this is like the third week that he's been non-COVID really sick this year.
Yeah, he's dealing with something. I mean, they showed him come into the stadium, which was funny. Did you watch him walk into the stadium?
I didn't see that, no.
So, he's the story, like whether or not Lamar Jackson is going to play. So, all the guys come off the bus, and you have to, in the arenas now, you have to go through a metal detector to get in. So, all these guys are standing there waiting to go through the metal detector, and he just walks right through. Just right by everyone. No big deal.
Just walks right through. But something's obviously wrong with him because he couldn't practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They said he was questionable, and then he couldn't play in the game yesterday. So clearly there's something going on. But I'm all about the Bears losing. So I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And this Huntley guy starts playing, and they're terrible. They can barely move the football. They kick a couple field goals. They kick a field goal to go up. And then they allow this monster touchdown for Marquise Goodwin. I'm like, oh, well, there that goes. And now the Bears are going to win. And then the magic of some guy named Huntley, right on the field, touchdown, walk off, Ravens win. So that was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But I think we need to start with your team. It won't put you in a bad mood because nothing apparently can today or this week. And that is the Jets. Well, I mean, I guess they played better yesterday, right? At least you showed up. They didn't allow 40-plus points, so there's something going there, right?
I couldn't have been less interested in that game. No, seriously. What did we accomplish in that game?
Elijah Moore looked good.
Well, that's fine. But listen, here's my biggest problem. Most people, right, were confused, to say the very least, that why Joe Flacco was going to play this game, right? All we heard was, the amount this Miami Dolphins defense blitzes, they're exotic, cover zero, and the veteran presence of Joe Flacco, who actually, I mean, if you dig into the numbers, actually is, outside of last year when he played against Miami, has done well against Miami. Okay, fine, I get it. And Bart was beating the drum for, well, it's not fair to the rest of the team if Mike White plays and struggles. You need a veteran guy in there so you can see what you have around him. Okay,
take that I couldn't agree with any less.
Okay, is Elijah Moore going to be on the team next year?
Yeah.
Is Corey Davis going to be on the team next year?
Yep.
Okay, is Jamison Crowder a good wide receiver?
He's good, yeah.
Okay, is Keelan Cole a pretty good wide receiver?
Maybe, but okay, I understand what you're trying to get at.
Oh, do you like Michael Carter?
I do. I like him, yeah.
Okay, when once he left, I mean, that was it for the run game. Forget it. We don't need to run the ball anymore. Okay, so we have a pretty good idea of what those guys are moving forward. You know the one position that we have no idea about? The one on this team. The most important one.
Quarterback.
Is whether or not we have a quarterback. Is Joe Flacco going to be on the Jets next year?
No, he's not. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. I mean, the more you think about it, the less sense it makes. I mean, Mike White played two games plus, right? And game one, he was all worldly. Game two, you were excited to see him, and he looked good on that Thursday night. And game three, he was bad against a team that was absolutely starving for a victory. And why they then decided to move in a different direction still puzzles me a week later. Still.
It was because the owner and the GM told Robert Saleh that Joe Flacco will play because, God forbid, as much as we want to pretend like this Miami Dolphins defense is the most complex defense in the history of the sport, is that if Mike White played and they won, now all of a sudden it would reignite the conversation.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, exactly, it's ridiculous. But that was the thought. You can't have Robert Saleh say on Monday, that he's fascinated by this market, that that in one breath after 1 week, there's talk about from this fan base that Mike White could be a better option than Zach Wilson, and then one bad game against the best defense in football, and you're ready to throw him away. And then on Wednesday, he deserves better, by the way, than to be thrown away. And then on Wednesday, you announce, you know what, Mike White's going to sit. Joe Flacco, who hasn't started a game since November 22nd of last year, he'll play against Miami.
Well,
last time he played Miami, remember that game? Was the game he took a 28-yard sack? Yeah, that one.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was a good one. And he was horrendous against the blitz in that game. Awful.
Terrible. Terrible. And listen,
nothing was gained yesterday. Zero was gained yesterday. Nothing.
So you watched that game with no emotion. You were emotionless watching that game yesterday.
You burned a week is all you did. You burned a week. Nothing was gained in that game. Nothing. Zero. I knew Elijah Moore is good. I knew it. And he had a great game. Awesome. Before yesterday, I liked Michael Carter. And how your defense comes out after getting stomped the previous week and looks like that in the opening drive against the Dolphins?
The defense is so bad. I mean, Tua looked great yesterday.
And he stinks. Let's be honest. It looks like he's throwing a weighted football.
Yeah, it really does. He's not very good. And he looked really good in that game. The Jets defense.
And then the stupid penalties. And then
lousy.
I got the head. And then I got, we're burning timeouts. Just burning timeouts. Right out of the Joe Judge playbook. We don't need these timeouts.
Why do you do that?
No, I'm just lashing out now. You know how this works.
But you said you're in a good mood.
Missing
you
field goals.
You said nothing
goals.
Can happen. Now it's 5-11. You're like, it's 5-01 and nothing could happen that will put me in a bad mood today. I've done nothing and it's 5-11. You're like, I'm lashing out. Why? I'm in a mood. It lasted 10 minutes.
Well, no, I'm still in a good mood. But the Jets pissed me off. That was a wasted week. Yesterday was a wasted week because you didn't win. The whole reason you played Joe Flacco was to win and you lost. So nothing was gained. Zero.
Nothing was gained. No, and you know what? Their defense is just horrendous. It really is. I mean, Miami's without their biggest weapons on offense too, right? No Devontae Parker.
They got Waddle, they got Gesicki.
Yeah, Gesicki's nice. Gesicki coming off zero catches last week, mind you.
They can't wait to get into the Wildcat with Gaskin.
Oh, they love that thing.
They love that.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, we're missing field goals, taking stupid penalties, blowing
coverages.
Well, that's
the thing that's so annoying. It's like, you know, make a field goal for God's sakes.
Well, it would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice. But seriously, I'm watching that game. They're giving out Joe Flacco against the blitz. He was great. I don't care. I do not care. I could not care less about Joe Flacco. I would like to know if Mike White is going to be a really good backup quarterback moving forward. Because I hate to say this, but this is how I feel. Zach Wilson is probably going to get dinged up on a regular basis. And probably each season will miss some time.
Well, that's not
How's
very
that?
Optimistic.
Well, the guys that are hurt usually all of a sudden now, guys hurt in college, they all of a sudden turn pro at his size and get less hurt?
No, he's not a big guy by any stretch. I agree.
So you need somebody that can play. And that's the other thing, though, too, is like now all of a sudden, now it's this important to have a veteran presence at center when you could have cared less about, I mean, you could not have prioritized that less this offseason. Oh, Joe, you don't want to come here? You want to play in Philly? Okay, no worries. We'll go with Mike White and James Morgan. And Zach Wilson.
And claim
none of which have thrown
it.
An NFL pass.
Right, and claim you felt great about it. This is fine. Between we have total confidence in Mike White, and we believe in Zach Wilson, and our quarterback room is terrific. It is fine. There are no worries. And then you kind of make a trade, which everyone looked at, and like, why did you do this here? And why did you do this now? And then you do it, and then you don't start him, and then the other guy looks really good, and now you play the guy that you brought in that you really didn't probably need in the first place to acquire. So I don't know. Feels like you're not being run and organized very well right now. I agree with that.
They got exactly what they wanted. Whoever made this decision got exactly what they wanted. was, we're going to play Mike White against Buffalo. He'll struggle. Now that whole Mike White conversation will be done. And now, Zach, I mean, I guess isn't ready to play against Miami. So we'll go Joe Flacco, because God forbid Mike White plays well. No one cares about Joe Flacco at all. We'll look competent. Like, we won't embarrass ourselves because Joe Flacco, I mean, he is a veteran, has won a Super Bowl, been there, done that. Like, he'll be able to run the offense. Maybe we win, maybe we won't, but at least we'll be competitive. And now it'll open the door. There'll be a humongous path, beautiful path, to bring Zach back against Houston.
You say there's a beautiful path, and there is. Can I give you a little bit of exciting Jets news?
Something, please.
All right, ready?
Yes.
I didn't say it's breaking news. I just said it's exciting.
Well, that sounds exciting.
2-5. Right now, you have the second pick and the fifth pick in the NFL draft.
I mean, that's the only positive right now. Seattle stinks.
Gorgeous, though.
Yeah, I mean, you stink and Seattle stinks. Great.
That's gorgeous. So how about this, though? We love the draft, right? Like, you can't get it. Okay. If the season were to end today, the Jets would go 2-5. The Giants would go 6-7. We'll be more wrapped up in the draft than we've ever been. We'll have Mel Kiper in January. Pumpkin. Well, why don't we have Mel Kiper on Monday? We'll discuss the pumpkin pie over the weekend and start to analyze the draft.
Isn't the draft in Vegas too?
I believe it is. I believe it is. Yes.
Oh, I mean, why wouldn't we go to the draft at that point?
Come on, they're not going to say.
What do you mean? Draft. Come on.
Come on. I mean,
it's a big time morning show. This is a big time morning show.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
See, honey, this is very funny. And no one in the entire world, except for me, I believe, knows that this just happened. So RJ gets in my ear when he says, all right, you know, it's time to break. We should probably break. And he does that all the time. And he's great about it, right? And he's good. He gets in my ear and he goes, all right, let's draft.
That did happen.
And he goes, RJ wants to go to Vegas.
Who doesn't want to go to Vegas?
Subconsciously, I wanted you to go to break, but in my heart, I was like, you know what? Let's just do the draft right now.
Let's just do the draft right now. We'll do it in November.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's spend a few minutes on basketball. Firstly, I like him. I enjoy watching him on other teams from afar. But that was just a dirty play from LeBron James last night. It was just a dirty, dirty play.
What's dirtier, that play or Cam Hayward with the rabbit gut punch to Justin Herbert?
Well, the result of what happened to Isaiah Stewart was clearly worse. But Cam Hayward was disgusting. And did you see what Hayward said after the game?
I didn't see what he said after the game.
Oh, a total mistake. Well, it was just trying to get up and accidentally fell back down, and he was not malicious at all.
Come on.
I'll find you the quote.
He purposely punched him in the stomach.
No, not according to Cam Hayward. It was a total misunderstanding, and it was not intentional by any stretch.
Right to the solar plexus. See, I don't think LeBron, it was a dirty play. I don't think he meant to punch him in the face, though.
It almost looked like he slapped him in the eye.
Well, it was more of a closed fist. I think everyone initially thought it was his elbow, but they're tangled up. I think what made it dirty is he kind of looks at him and swings the arm, as opposed to, like, if he's trying to free up his arm and he's up paying attention to what's happening and swings his arm and hits him in the face, then maybe potentially I could lean accident. But that's, I mean, balls in, he turns back and looks like he's trying to forcefully either throw his arm, like, get him off of him. And then because he swings his arm a little bit wild, I mean, it hits him in the face and cuts him. But I get Isaiah Stewart is mad afterwards.
Oh,
but that
mad.
That was too much.
His reaction? Like,
yeah, his reaction is too much. I mean, he's running over his coaches. Like, it's too much.
Oh, he I mean, the Giants should sign that guy as a running back. That was, oof.
I said the same thing to RJ about the Jets. I was like, we could use that fight. We could use that kind of passion.
Yeah, my God, you couldn't hold that guy back. And he, you know, he really gave him the okie doke too. Like he was furious. They calmed him down. They settled the situation. It's all done. I'm out of here. I'm going right after him. And then he got through like almost the entire barricade. getting to LeBron.
Well, yeah, he went the other way. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm good. No problem. No worries. Yep. All right. I've calmed down. No, I didn't.
I have the quote for you from Cam Hayward. You want to hear this?
Yeah, I got to hear it.
I was trying to get up, and I just couldn't get up properly, and I fell back on him accidentally. It was terrible. There was nothing malicious behind it. I wasn't trying to punch him or anything.
Come on. Stop, yeah. Please. We got. I mean, it's every single instant replay that we saw, it's clear that you try to punch him in the stomach. Stop.
It was really terrible, to be honest with you. Like, that play was awful because it was. I mean, you talk about protecting the quarterback. You have a defensive lineman, one of the better defensive linemen in football, by the way, great player. Doing that was a bad look.
No, it was a terrible look.
I think he should be ejected on that play.
Yeah, I don't understand why he wasn't. I mean, that was clear. That was obvious. I mean, that's. He can say what he wants. That was obvious. And with, I mean, especially how they're trying to protect the quarterbacks. He punches him in the stomach. I don't know, man. The officiating in the NFL stinks anyway.
Oh, God.
Like, don't even be started with that.
And the blows to the head and the face masks. And I mean, there was one they almost messed up in the Cowboys game yesterday where it was a blatant face mask and they did nothing. You're right. The officiating is absolutely terrible. Let's just take a listen to Anthony Davis after the game. Pistons and Lakers on the incident with LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart.
You know, Stewart tried to get physical with LeBron. LeBron did the same thing. You know, everyone in the league knows LeBron not a dirty guy. That nearly hit him. As soon as he did it, he looked back at him and told him, oh, my bad, I didn't try to do it. And he tried to, I don't know what he was trying to do, but I know nobody on our team, 1 through 15, was having it. You know, we're going to protect our brother. I've never, 10 years, seen a player try to do that. Well, since I've been playing, I mean, obviously we've seen it before, but back in the day. But in recent basketball, it was uncalled for.
You know, the funny thing, if that was the 80s, that was just like a Wednesday. But, you know, that's this generation, so that's obviously a big deal. I don't think LeBron's dirty either, but I thought that was a dirty play.
No, I thought it was a dirty play too. I mean, just how, again, if you watch the replay, it's like there was intent. I don't think the intent was to punch him in the face, but the intent was to aggressively slap Isaiah Stewart's arm away from him because they were tangled up and he was he was aggravated by it and he was trying to get off me, and in the motion of get off me, he punched him in the face. I don't know what cut him, if it was his nail or whatever it was, but yeah, I can understand why Isaiah Stewart would be pissed. But at a certain point, like, no one's gonna let you get to LeBron James. You're not gonna be able to sit here. This is not the NHL. like, you're not gonna get to go fight LeBron James.
No, ever. You'll have to go through every single person to get to LeBron James, and that didn't happen. But Isaiah Stewart, he certainly wanted him. It was a bizarre scenario, and of course it happened at Detroit last night. So, you know, we spoke about it last week, and we both said that we're concerned about where the Knicks are. This weekend only added fuel to the fire for my concern about this team. They were terrible on Saturday. Awful. They won the game, and you're not going to freak out about it, but they weren't good. And then last night, they lose to Chicago. Now the schedule gets much, much more difficult. And Rick, Kemba Walker is almost unplayable. Evan Fournier is terrible. RJ Barrett is regressing. The only starter you have that's worth anything right now, and that's not consistently, is Julius Randle. There's problems with this Knicks team.
Well, you mentioned the game against Houston. I mean, thank God for Alec Burks. And what, I mean, he went crazy in the fourth quarter. I mean, 17 points in the fourth quarter. So they pulled that one out in a game they had to win. And then, you know, yesterday, last night in Chicago, I mean, you mentioned the starters. I mean, besides Randall, who had a good night offensively.
Oh, they were awful.
The starters were 9 for 32 in that game. I mean, that's not going to cut it. I mean, Kemba Walker, he doesn't play in the fourth quarter. He doesn't. Tibbs does not trust them in the fourth quarter. I mean, Fournier scored 3 points.
Well, what did Kemba Walker play, like 15 minutes last night or something?
Walker played 18 minutes, yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. And R.J. Barrett, remember like 2 weeks ago, like, oh, I think he's turned a corner. Well, I think he's back around the corner. He was, what, 2 of 12 last night?
2 for 12, yep. Did have 15
Fournier
rebounds.
Was 1 of 7 for 3 points.
And then quickly was 1 of 8 from 3.
I mean, it's disgusting. Tell me you're not concerned about the Knicks.
Oh, of course I'm concerned about the Knicks. How could you not be? They got real issues. Couple things, though. Here's all right. So Julius Randle had, you know, offensively, and he was really efficient, 13 and 19. He had a really good game, right? And I, in the third quarter, I actually liked some of the stuff. I thought him and Kemba had it going in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. There was some some chemistry. I really liked the high pick and roll they ran, and then had, you know, Randall. Kemba made a nice pass to Randall. So it was nice to see Randall not have to work so hard to create his own shots, because I feel like there's this, I don't know how you explain it, but the way it looks is that with that starting five, like, everyone is so quick to defer to Julius Randle. Like, the whole offense is, okay, here, Julius, here's the ball, and then try to make something happen. Hopefully they try to, either you're going to get your own shot, or you'll be able to pass out of the double team, which leads to, I mean, he had five turnovers last night. But the reason why you brought Kemba Walker in was to make Julius Randle's life easier. And it doesn't look like Julius Randle's life is being made any easier right now at all.
No. Well, listen, Walker's unplayable. Fournier's on the verge of being unplayable. You have more confidence in the bench than you do the starters. I got to tell you, and we'll take a break and come back and get into this kind of stuff. 1-800-919-3776. And maybe it's unfair. I've had enough of Mitchell Robinson. I mean, there's something every single game. It's an ankle, it's a concussion, it's a this, it's a that. And I'm not making light of the current issue, but it's always something with this guy. He's never available.
No, he's not, and you were thin. Noel got into foul trouble, so you went small, which is fine. I mean, I think this team is probably going to have to go to get Obi more minutes. I mean, you're going to have to probably go small more often, but that's when all of a sudden now you lack the rim protection, and you saw what happened. I mean, they scored 37 points in the fourth quarter between corner threes, and then Levine and DeRozan helped close that game out. But the one thing I don't necessarily like about Tibbs, and I like a lot about Tibbs, but in a game like last night, where you're thin at the center position, you got no Taj, you mentioned Mitchell Robinson, and Nerlens Noel gets into foul trouble early in that game. So then you bring in Sims as an option, right? But you don't trust him. He only plays 4 minutes. You go right back to Nerlens Noel. Well, how can you develop trust in a player if you never ever give them any opportunities?
Yeah, but what's going to happen is Sims is going to have that one game where he goes out there and right away he's a difference maker, and then maybe he'll get some buy-in into getting more minutes. Because you're right. He is a creature of habit, and the guys that he's comfortable with are the guys that he's going to play. It's 100% right.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
When do you start the cooking and stuff?
Start the cooking on Wednesday.
Is that today?
No, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So all right, this Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving.
You know what? Again, that was the Damer DePietro situation where I was going to get cute with the beginning of that read.
Uh-huh.
And then as I went
it's
to get
Damer
cute,
Damer and DePietro and...
Unlike the Buster Only voicemail, I decided that was going to abort, and then I completely... All right, this Thanksgiving... It just ruined the whole read.
Tell us at least the genius behind what happened.
Well, no,
what,
I didn't.
What were
I was
you thinking.
No, I was going to get us into the whole Thanksgiving or how excited something. I was going to get cute with it rather than just stick to the script, and then that's when things went awry.
Thanksgiving. So nothing today, nothing tomorrow. Wednesday, full day of cooking.
Yeah, we'll do a big grocery shop. We'll do some today, bigger one tomorrow, and then Wednesday is when it all goes down. We start getting things prepared.
Terrific.
Brian, the turkeys.
Wait.
Yeah, we'll do some all the things that we can get done going into Thursday.
Terrific. Just very excited for you. For everyone.
Love bacon.
It is Thanksgiving week.
Lots of pies this year. Lots of pies this
more
year.
More than
multiple
normal?
Cream cheeses? No cream cheese. I think we're going five pies.
Five? Wait, who are you having Thanksgiving with?
It's going to be just us and then Cass's parents.
Okay, so it's just going to be seven of you?
Yeah, but I want days and days of leftovers. Days
and you
of
have
leftovers.
Five pies for seven people?
Well, you got to go apple pie.
Yes.
The standard apple pie.
You have to go apple and pumpkin.
We're going apple and pumpkin.
Okay.
But then we're also going, she makes this, she did it last year, this pear pie.
Pear
but
pie?
But she puts, yeah, but it's not so much about the pears, it's more about the topping. She does like this oatmeal cookie crumble on top of the pie.
All right, so that's the
and
third
now,
pie.
When you incorporate that into the vanilla ice cream situation, oh.
Well, and what's the fourth and fifth pies?
Well, then we got the $1 million pie, which is like a granola chocolate chips, fantastic. We got that one. And then we also now are going to incorporate in a banana cream pie.
Oh, I love the banana cream pie.
Love the banana cream
pie. I'm not kidding. I love banana cream pie. So you're not inviting RJ over for Thanksgiving?
No, I think RJ's going up to Rochester, isn't he?
RJ, you going up to Rochester?
No, I'll be around.
No, he has nothing to do.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he, I mean, don't you usually go to Rochester?
You know what? Forget about you, because you don't seem to be this kind of guy. RJ, would you like to come to my home for Thanksgiving? You and Ange.
Wow,
we'd love to have you.
How many pies will you have?
If you come, we'll get six pies.
Oh, that's big. Yeah, I'm in.
I mean, they had an apple pie, but you can't trust Dave with the apple pie.
You can trust me with any pie.
I don't know about that.
Very trustworthy.
Give me my little cookie.
Would you like to come up for Thanksgiving?
I would love to, but I cannot. We do have plans.
All right.
As much as I do appreciate it.
RJ has so many friends. He's in like 1,000 weddings.
It doesn't matter, though. The fact is he's going to be here away from his home, away from his parents, and you didn't even think to invite him over.
It's my fault, I assumed.
That's not his fault.
It's your fault, and you know what happens when you assume.
I make an ass of you and me.
You got it.
He's got to make 3 grocery trips. He's got 5 pies. The guy's got a lot going on.
Well, all I'm saying is we consider ourselves to be a very tight show unit. Yes?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's okay. His family.
Am I putting words in anybody's mouth?
No.
All right, did you invite any of the 3 of us over to your home for Thanksgiving?
What? Did you invite any of the 3 of us over to your home for Thanksgiving?
I just invited RJ.
Well, it's a Monday. I mean, this is the week of Thanksgiving. I mean, if you cared that much, you would have been...
Don't deflect this with me. Yeah, you thought he was going away.
No, he's right, though. You were banking on a no there.
No, I would love if you would come up. We watch football. You can meet the dogs. Maybe one of them could throw up all over you.
Oh, I see what it is now. You just want me to like walk the dogs. Oh, why are you here?
That's exactly what he wants.
Why are you here?
Do you think if one of the dogs threw up when RJ and Ange were over for Thanksgiving, I'd say, listen, do me a favor, Ange. Can you clean up that vomit? I'm watching football here.
You wouldn't even say do me a favor.
No, I would just say, Ange, there's paper towel and Windex over there. Can you just clean that up?
Vomit here. Oh, by the way, RJ, Cowboys kick off in 10 minutes. I mean, it's light. I'm just a quick walk, quick one.
Listen, we have a little dog run. Just bring them out. Speaking of the Cowboys, we'll do that when we go around the league. I can't wait for that today. JoJo and Nutley. Good morning, JoJo. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just want to give you props on last week with Buster Only, Dave. You did a great job getting him back on.
Thank you.
Rick, I don't think it's over, Rick. I think you need to coach him through this this date that's going to happen. Maybe come with a Glore University t-shirt or give him a...
Or they beat Glore.
Yeah, I feel like I should be at the restaurant. I don't trust them either,
no,
JoJo.
No,
I should
no,
be at
no,
the at the restaurant, no. Earpiece in, no. Listening to what's being said.
No. I will do full play-by-play after.
Maybe let Buster give you a question, and you could maybe get it wrong on purpose and tell him that he stumped Rothenberg.
No, you know what I do? I'll tell you exactly what I do. I go to the restaurant early, get in a disguise, and I'll be the waiter at the table.
Well, like that undercover boss?
Yeah, no, yeah, but I make you look good where I'm just like, oh... Oh, Mr. Rothenberg.
The Niçoise salad. What an order, Mr. Rothenberg.
Everybody loves you. Or these shoes, that they make me fall. Oh, Mr. Rothenberg, where did Quincy Williams go to college?
Where did Isaiah Stewart go to university? What do you got, JoJo? I know you want to talk about the Knicks.
All right, guys. With the Knicks, man, I've always tried to stay positive this year. I'm trying to keep your mantra where just, you know, any win is a good win, but Saturday's was very ugly. They won one for my birthday. I was pretty excited about that. But
happy birthday.
I'll tell you, yesterday, thank you. Yesterday, I was still, just looking at the team. The next 11 games, they're not going to... We're going to be down into like the 14th place. The next 11 games, there's probably 2 or 3 that are like definite wins, and that's not really saying much with them. So, I think sooner than later, we're going to have to make a big time trade. It's going to happen like now, because before we know it, we're going to be down in like the 11th, 12th place.
Yeah, I mean, you're not trending in the right direction.
No.
I mean, you beat Houston, but barely. I mean, thankfully, Alec Burks went crazy in the fourth. And then
yeah, but
yesterday,
you didn't feel good about that. And
no,
again, it's a win, so you're not going to freak out. But you didn't feel good about that game on Saturday.
No, of course you didn't. That's why I said, I mean, you're trending in the wrong direction. It doesn't feel like it's getting better. It doesn't.
Listen to this schedule coming up. Home to the Lakers. Now, I don't know if LeBron plays in that game now, if he gets suspended or not. But tomorrow night, you're home to the Lakers. then you're home to the Suns, who have won, I think, what, 12 or 13 in a row.
Red hot.
At the Hawks, at the Nets, home to the Bulls. Stop me when there's a game that you say that's a win. Home to the Nuggets, at the Spurs, at the Pacers, at the Raptors.
I think you beat the Spurs.
You could beat the Spurs, but I don't think you look at it and you're like, that's a win.
No, I mean, it's Dave, I mean, you just mentioned that you barely, I mean, you barely beat Houston.
Barely. Then you host the Bucks, host the Warriors at the Rockets. That the next game that the Knicks play that I say that's a win is December 16th in Houston.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
It is not great. They have to do something. Something needs to be figured out. They have to make a change. If it's not a trade, they have to make a change with that starting five. They have to do something.
I mean, I feel good about it at all.
Unfortunately, you can't count on Mitchell Robinson. I mean, R.J. Barrett, I mean, I like him as a kid, too. I really like him as a kid. But he has to be, like, he has to take that next step, and it has to be consistently. It can't be, you know, runs of a couple games where he's great, and then he's not. Like, he needs to assert himself.
Who are you talking about, R.J. Barrett?
R.J. Barrett. Yeah, he has to. Like, that was the plan going into the season, is that he would ascend into now being the 2B behind. Because we don't really have a 1, let's face it.
No,
we don't have a 1.
You have a B and you have a 2B. You're right.
But that's what he was supposed to become. And you see glimpses of it, and that's great. And then you see these stretches where, and usually it's the first half, and then all of a sudden he figures out in the second half, but then it's, there's been too many games this season where he's just not a factor.
And he's not been good of late. Let's be fair. I mean, this weekend he was not good. The game prior to that he was not good. There's been like 4 or 5 games in a row where he has not been good. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. All guests on this very show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Santi, let's go.
It's time to go around the league.
Around the league brought to you by Jackpocket. There's a lot of places for us to go, and we will get to the Cowboys and their vaunted offense in just a little bit. But speaking of a vaunted offense, Buffalo, Josh Allen, this was supposed to be an easy division for them to win. And they are now in second place in the AFC East. Is it time to panic? Josh Allen says, not quite yet.
We're a really good football team when we don't bite ourselves in the butt. What we put on that field today is not who we are. I got a lot of trust and a lot of faith in our team. There's no secret that we need to do a better job on all fronts. There's no way around it. But at the same time, it's not panic mode. We got to learn from this one and move on as quickly as possible because, again, we're playing on Thursday night.
If it's not time to panic, it's time to be very concerned if you're Buffalo. They don't look right at all.
No, they don't look right. Turnovers don't help. I mean, what Jonathan Taylor did in that game was special, man. I mean, he was a force in that game. They got to figure out how to run the football, man. They have to.
They can't, though.
Well, they have to try at least. They got to figure something out. Because you can't keep putting. I mean, if you're going to be a team that, especially now as we get in this portion of the season and then into the playoffs, you can't just be this one-dimensional team where it's just Josh Allen, go make things happen. It's not going to work.
So let me ask you this, and I ask you every week, and it feels like it's a different answer every week. The best team in the AFC right now is who?
I think you probably have to say Kansas City at the moment.
Oh, my God. I mean, Kansas City was dead and buried 3 weeks ago.
The NFL season's been crazy. I mean, who's playing the best? I'd say the Patriots are probably playing the best. But I think, the whole Pat Mahomes thing changes it for me.
It does. I don't know, man. It's so wide open.
The Patriots are playing the best football right now.
The Patriots are playing the best football right now. I think that's fair to say. Tennessee, they was them, right? They'd won 6 in a row, trending in the right direction. But the dangerous Houston Texans came to town, and that game is 19-0. I mean, how are you one of the better teams in football and fall behind by 3 touchdowns to that Houston Texans team? How does that happen?
And Houston was trying to give that game away, begging. Tyrod Taylor was begging to give that game back to Tennessee. It was 3-and-out, 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 3-and-out. He couldn't complete a pass. And the weather was terrible. But I mean, Tannehill threw 4 picks in that game. 4.
Oh, he was awful.
It's an awful
loss. The game was dreadful. Here is Mike Vrabel. The question asked to him, do you still have faith in Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've seen Ryan perform at a high level. Offensive football at any level is takes 11 guys, you know, and so there was a lot of good football out there. Unfortunately, we turned the football over too many times, way too many times. I felt like our defense battled, and our offense certainly was its own worst enemy.
I'll say this. What a terrible loss.
I'll say this, and hopefully for their sake, they get Derrick Henry back at some point. And Tannehill has been good. Probably better than good with the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if you feel the same way. I do not need to see Ryan Tannehill throw the football 52 times in a game.
No.
I do not.
Well, listen, they have no running game. I mean, no Derrick Henry. They have Foreman. They have Peterson. Nothing that moves the needle. They're playing without Derrick Henry. They're playing without Julio Jones. A.J. Brown is always hurt. Now, Bud Dupree is put on IR. I mean, Vrabel's a good coach, but I don't know how long they can continue to find ways to win games. And Indianapolis, oh, look out. The Colts are scalding red hot right now. I don't know how much you watched this one because it went up against your Jets, but Minnesota-Green Bay was a gorgeous game
awesome
yesterday.
Awesome game.
It was just a phenomenal game. Justin Jefferson is sensational. Rodgers, as frustrated as he made me in the last week plus, God, is he a special quarterback. He's just a wonderful QB. But Kirk Cousins in these 1 o'clock games finds a way. And at
you
the buzzer.
You say that.
Yeah.
You say that, but that throw that looked like it got intercepted.
That they reviewed and it got overturned.
That they reviewed and didn't.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. And listen to Aaron Rodgers after the game. Oh, no, this is way worse. My toe is way worse than turf toe. And we all know how painful turf toe is. He's like, nah, this is way worse. And he still does what he does. That throw he made to Valdez Scantling was insane.
He is so good. It's insane. Speaking of the Aaron Rodgers toe injury, here is the quarterback.
I've had turf toe. It's a little worse than turf toe. I'm just going to have to get through the bye and hope I can get some healing over the bye week. Probably the same schedule next week. I was in a lot of pain. Went in at halftime early to get it checked out. Very, very painful. Got stepped on in the first half, and that kind of activated all the symptoms I was having. It's going to be another painful week next week, and then hopefully start to feel a little better in the bye.
He's going to see a big specialist over the bye. Maybe you've heard of him, Joe Rogan.
It's Joe Rogan
at the toe. Yeah,
yeah.
See how
maybe consult
how
with Rex.
Looking.
A toe specialist in Rex.
Yes, he's going to go on the Rex and Rogan tour for the toe. But you know, I ask you the same question about the NFC that I did the AFC. Who's the best team in the NFC right now?
Best team in the NFC?
Yeah. Ooh. I would still say...
We'll see how Tampa looks tonight.
I would still say it's Green Bay, but Arizona has to be right there.
Yeah, the only thing with Arizona that makes me nervous, though, is Kyler
the
Murray's
health. Kyler Murray.
That's it. And Hopkins, I mean, is Hopkins going to be right?
What does he have, a groin or a hamstring?
No, he's got a hamstring.
Yeah, so that worries you about a wide receiver suffering from a hamstring.
Speaking of feet, did you get a chance? Have you? I don't know if you saw this or not. Did you see Yair Rodriguez's feet, the UFC fighter?
No.
Google what his foot like. You want to talk about pain. Look what his foot looked like.
Is it? Am I going to see like bone coming through the foot?
No. It's not like compound fracture. It's just, it looks so painful. It looks like Sherman Klump's foot. It's that swollen.
What's the gentleman's name? Gary Rodriguez?
No, not Gary. Y-A-I-R Rodriguez.
Well, how do you pronounce this? Yair?
I believe it's Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah. Yair Rodriguez. I thought you'd said Gary. All right, let's get back to the NFL.
Gary, they're so similar.
I thought I heard Gary. What do you want me to tell you? John Harbaugh. Lamar Jackson misses multiple days of practice. Then all of a sudden, he's not on the injury report. Then he's 50-50. Then before you gave the game, we find out he's not, in fact, playing. What happened to Lamar Jackson?
Well, I can describe it, and you know, Lamar could describe it better, I guess, but he just got sick again. You know, he just kind of went right back to where he was on Tuesday and Wednesday with all the symptoms that he had that were there, you know, and it's just, you've all been sick before. I mean, all the congestion and all the other stuff, you know, that goes with it. And he had it, and he had it yesterday. He had it on a plane. He had it, and he didn't go to the meetings at night. We thought he'd wake up this morning maybe feeling better, and he didn't. He felt worse. Seems like he's better now. I just saw him in the locker room, and we'll see how he feels tomorrow.
I don't know. It seems very strange to me. It's not COVID. They ruled that out. but he and again, I don't want to judge a guy that's not feeling well. You never want to speculate what it could be, but I mean, he's just not feeling well, and but now he feels a lot better after the game, and he went to the game. I don't know. Am I wrong to kind of question that?
Question what? Whether or not he could play?
Yeah, I mean, why is he not playing? If he can go to the game, and after the game the coach says, yeah, he's feeling much better, why is he not playing in the game?
Well, I think the hope was that they could bring him in. He would have woke up that morning, felt a little bit better. They'd bring him in, whatever they had to do. I mean, medicine, IVs, whatever, and he would feel good enough to play. But, I mean, he wasn't. I don't question his toughness.
I don't question his toughness either. What
I think
I don't
it's more figuring out what's going on.
Something's clearly going on. Like he says, well, it's just a simple like chest cold. Doesn't sound like a simple chest cold kind of thing to me. If you're out for days of practice and then you can't go against the Bears in a game that, I mean, you're not 2-7 here where you don't need to play him. You need this. We talk about who's the best team in the AFC. It might be Baltimore. The whole thing seems strange to me.
No, but I think a bigger concern, I think, for them is to try to figure out what's going on with him. Like, I mean, to feel better and then all of a sudden, like, you're going to get over it and then it hits you again and it's just as bad. Because they're not going anywhere without Lamar Jackson.
Oh, my God. What? By the way, what a terrible loss. Terrible loss for the Bears yesterday.
I mean, Dalton came in and played well, too. That's another guy. Fields is always banged up, too. I mean, he takes a beating.
And that's going to continue. He puts himself in a position where he takes a lot of huge hits. But that was an important game for Baltimore, but that was a rough game. Seahawks stink, huh? They are just lousy. You probably just eat that up every week, watching Jamal Adams get abused in the passing game and lose games, knowing you have their number one pick. Here is Pete Carroll on the offensive struggles of Seattle.
It's really surprising now that we're back a couple weeks with Russ back in there and that we had such a hard time scoring, moving the football. And we just, you know, the running game was pretty efficient, but it came down to we were 1-for-5 in the first half. The hard part of it is it's what it's been like, and it hasn't gotten better, and we have to improve. We got to find our ways.
It's terrible. And they go to Washington for Monday Night Football a week from tonight. I don't know that it gets any better. You could be the Jets getting like the two top five picks this season.
That would be great.
How good would that be?
And you think you got to believe like Russell Wilson's going to be available now after the season.
He didn't want to be there after going 12-4. How is he going to want to be there when this is happening?
That'll be interesting. This is going to be a real interesting offseason with him. What Aaron Rodgers decides to do, Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm. He's not healthy, by the way. I mean, Russell Wilson is nowhere near healthy. Probably shouldn't be playing.
Oh, but he's a tough guy, man. He wants to go out there and try to help his team win.
He really is a tough guy. Maybe we save the best for last. Kansas City in Jiha Stadium. Oh, how gorgeous. How gorgeous was that? Really, I think it's fair to say, almost a non-competitive game with the Chiefs having their way against the fancy Dallas Cowboys. First play of the game, Dak Prescott, the great MVP candidate Dak Prescott, drops back. Michael Gallup is just gallivanting wide open in the secondary. Dak misses him. It didn't get better from there. Sack fumble, multiple interceptions. Kansas City beats up on the vaunted Dallas Cowboys.
Santiago tapped out at one point. He's like, I got games. I got a Rangers and a Knicks game to get ready for. I'm out.
Yeah, but because I'm the friend that in fact I am, I did follow that tweet up with my own tweet. It said, if you need someone to keep you up to date on what's going on in the Cowboys game, I'm your guy.
Santi, let me ask you a question.
I think I'm a bad guy.
You would know what? Did it look like Dak Prescott was throwing the ball well yesterday?
No, I think he was under duress for most of the game. Which, I mean, he was. I think he got pressured 27 times.
Oh, let me break out the world's smallest.
Oh, no! Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. I certainly don't. It's a bad day at the office. You turn around. You got a game in 4 days. And
I'll tell you what would concern me. I'll tell you what would concern me. I think they'll be fine. I still think they're a good football team. The fact that Cooper's not going to play. Lamb sounds like he's not going to play. And the biggest one, and this is supposed to be a one-week maintenance issue, Tyron Smith. They don't have him there, and they are a completely different offense.
It's not just that they had not had Tyron Smith, but also Lyle Collins looked slow on the other side, and they started Connor McGovern next to Terrence Steele on the left side for some reason. So
They're not winning the Super Bowl. Can we make that statement right now? They are not winning the Super Bowl.
There's a lot of season left to play, Dave.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
Yeah, you just got done asking who the best teams in each conference are, not really knowing who the best team is. And they just, Because you hate the Cowboys?
That's all this is. Dave just wants to gloat and be happy that the Cowboys had a bad day.
Micah Parsons is awesome.
He really is.
This is the same guy who, you know, went ballistic on an innocuous text message about a month or so ago. You know, he's just waiting for an opportunity. That's all.
You know,
he still feels away.
You're 7-3. This is a 500 team, really. I mean, you should have lost in L.A. to the Chargers.
That's ridiculous.
You should have lost to New England. You're a mediocre team. You're a 500-ish team in a very bad division.
If you say so, Dave Rothenberg.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
A man that made a lot of news on this very show last week, one Rex Ryan. I hope you say something controversial this week, Rex. How you doing?
Hey, who knew? You know what I'm saying? When you speak the truth, things just happen. I don't know.
All right. So I love you. I think you're great. I think you're a great guest. But I don't understand, and I'd like for you to explain it to me. A week ago on this show, you had very negative things to say about Robert Saleh. You didn't think he was very good. You didn't like his name being mentioned when your name was mentioned, and you had negative things to say about him. You talked to him this week, and yesterday on NFL Countdown, you couldn't have spoken higher or more positive about this head coach. How does it go from where you were to where you are now with one phone conversation?
Well, no, I'm going to say this. Like, look, I'm not changing anything about what I say or what have you. However, when I talk to the guy, if you want me to lie and say that I wasn't impressed with them or, you know, all this, then I could. But that's not me. I speak the truth. And I was blown away by him. I'm just telling you. And that's the thing where it's like, I don't know Robert Saleh, but I can tell you one thing. The more I talk to him, the more I'm like, wow, like, this dude, number one, this is a smart guy. Like, if you don't think that he's disappointed in how his defense is performing, you're wrong. Of course he is. But he also has a big picture view of, you know, okay, this is the issues that I'm having. You know, in my opinion, this issue's not going to be solved until the off season. I mean, they're going to need an off season to fix this defense. It's not coming. I don't see this defense making strides. Even, you know, last week or yesterday, they might have been better than they've been, but that ain't exactly the damn 85 Bears, you know. So, you know, there's some issues there. But the guy recognized it. He knows what he needs, but he's got a vision for this team that I don't think any of us knew, like public-wise, because it wasn't really shared. He doesn't share his, you know, that vision or whatever with everybody, but I can assure you it's there. And when I talk to him, I'm like, damn, I hate to say this, but this, you know, I guess I was wanting him to be a jerk, but he was the exact opposite, man. Like, he's a hell of a guy, and he's smart, and I think he's on the right track. I mean, I do. And that's the thing that I'm excited being a Jet fan. Like, all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, oh, crap, we got the, you know, this doesn't look right. But at the same, once you talk to him, I'm like, damn, I can see it. Like, I can picture it. And being a Jet fan, all of a sudden, I'm excited about it. So that's what I am. I'm telling you the truth. And we had a long conversation, spoke about a lot of different things. And, you know, and I've been in that chair that he's in. And I don't know if he took anything out of it, but it was good for me. And I wanted to share that with Jet fans that, hey, guys, hold up a little bit. I think we're going to be okay here. And I think that's what I wanted to say. And it's true. And look, it's hard to argue. And I said it before the game and all that. I'm like, look, this Elijah Moore, I think, is legit. Well, how did he play yesterday?
It was great.
Tore it up, right? The guard is legit. So that's a hit. Carter, the running back, that's a hit. They hit on three right there. The one that we don't know yet is the one that has to hit, and that's the quarterback. We're not going to know, and I'm hoping Saleh doesn't throw him in there, feel pressure to throw him in there when he's not healthy. And I don't think he will. Get him right, and when he does come back, now you put him in, and let's see some improvement from him the rest of the year. So whenever he's healthy, it's all about let's get him to where next year, all of a sudden, we've seen some, you know, where this kid, you know, the potential of this kid and move forward. But that's the one, and I've said it from jump. I think that guy's the most talented quarterback the Jets have had since Joe Namath, and I'll stand by it. So, but again, that's the unknown. What we do know, they hit on the guard, all right? There's no question they hit on him. They hit on Elijah Moore, no question about it. And they hit on Carter, no question about it. You know, the running back. So, you know, that from that standpoint, pretty damn good shape.
Rex Ryan joins us here on the show. I'm just interested, Rex, what was the reason that you decided to pick up the phone and call Coach Saleh?
You know, I just thought that, look, I've been in that seat, and unlike anybody else that you can talk to, I've been in there. I was in that seat for 6 years, and I thought it was important that, look, and give him a chance. If he wants to, you know, to go off on me, I'll give you every opportunity to do it. And I remember I did the same thing with Tony Dungy. We had a little fallout. He had some comments, and I had reached out to Tony Dungy. And it's funny because, you know, Tony Dungy's a big Christian man and all that. And I never, and I'm a spiritual person, and I never felt good about being judged by him because of language I used. And I said, well, I'm going to be judged at some point by the same guy that's going to judge you. And I never appreciated it. And I called him and let him know that. And the great thing is, to his credit, I invited him out to a practice and he came. And I'm going to tell you this, that's another dude I was blown away by. Like, oh, God, was he a good guy? Like, and smart, and the same thing. I'm like, golly, this kind of reminds me of when I talked to Dungy. So sometimes, I don't know what I was expecting, but what I got on the other end of that phone was a guy that, you know, number one, is a hell of a dude. And it was like, you know, He has a vision and a passion for this football team, and that's what I appreciated about it. And look, the fact he took my call, also, you know, I was like, yeah, that you know, all right, that's cool, you know, and you know, but again, I don't have to do anything, you know, I'm in the, you know, in a business, I'm not in the game or whatever, but. You know, I'm a man, 100%, and I'm like, you know, hey, let's get everything on the table.
I'm not sure why more coaches don't reach out to former coaches of the respective teams just to ask for advice, just to bounce stuff off. I mean, it's like I would use you as a resource if I got that job and I was first year rookie head coach. Rex, so you mentioned,
and maybe he will now. You know, well, you never know. You know, yep.
Yeah, hopefully you patch this thing up. But I mean, you mentioned his plan moving forward, and I mean, it's. I don't know if it's an obvious plan that Jets fans can see, but it feels like it's we're going to play a bunch of young guys. They'll learn on the job. We'll go through the ups and downs, a lot of losing, and then we'll be better for it. We'll be better for it next year. I mean, you mentioned Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, all the rookies running around on defense, and you learn from all the mistakes. So if that's the case, and it feels like that's what the case is, then why the hell are we? Because it still makes no sense to me. I think I have an idea why they did it, but I mean, I'm a humongous Jets fan. I had no interest in watching Joe Flacco play football yesterday. None. I don't get it. Like, why not use that as an opportunity? Like you can lose with a purpose. Like, I can lose and gain something from the loss. Like, why not see if Mike White's the real deal? Like, let's see him bounce back. He looked awful against Buffalo. Let's see if he can bounce back against a pretty good, I don't think it's a great Miami defense, but a pretty good defense, and see what he looks like. See if he's a long-term, you know, backup for this team potentially.
Yeah, and I think, but when you look at it, and I get where that question's coming from, that, hey, look, it's all about the young players playing the young guys. That ain't the vision I'm talking about, okay? So, again, there's way more to it than just I'm playing a bunch of young guys, all right? So I understand where he's coming from. Look, he had to hit the reset button. And it shows all the veteran players and everything else that, look, I'm still going to do what's in the best interest of this football team, trying to win games. Okay, and not just, you know, he owes that. I think he, you know, he's going to do that for the veteran players that are in there and trying to establish a culture of winning. Look, when I see this game, you know, was it a mistake for playing Joe Flacco? I didn't see it that way. If you guys think that Mike White is going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets moving forward, I think you're mistaken. I think the obvious starting quarterback is going to be Zach Wilson. We got to see him progress. If he was healthy, that would be a different story. But I think that's kind of where we're at. And, you know, I'm watching this game. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but I was impressed with the offense. The problem, though, is kind of shot, you know, the Jets shot themselves in the foot when they had seven times they were in scoring range, right? You know, we already saw, you know, the two missed field goals, all those type of things. But seven times they were in scoring range, and they only came away with 17 points. So that's something where the offense needs to improve on. The defense has to steadily get better. We know it's still a ways to go. But they just got to keep you know, laying it out there, working their butts off. You know, they had the big penalty on the defensive end that hurt them bad. But keep working, and it's a work in progress, and get better as the season goes on. I think that's important. And then obviously that defense is not going to get fixed until the off season. We understand that, right? Like, I'm looking at this defense and I'm like, it ain't going to take that quantum leap until next year. And then let's see where this defense goes.
Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Rex, enough time on the Jets. Let's turn our attention to the Monday night game tonight. Oh, that's the Giants. They're going to be healthier. Barkley's going to play, it sounds like. Galladay, Tony, Andrew Thomas, Jones. Do you give the Giants a chance to win this game tonight?
Oh, hell yeah. And this is the one we need to, you know, the Giants need to win this game. They need to win this game to have a chance. And look, I mean, you're right. Now, we're going to be all upset if they don't, they're not in the middle of this game. They should absolutely have a chance. And I'm excited to watch this one. I want to see Daniel Jones. I want to see Daniel Jones finally have his targets. You know, I know what Shepard's probably not going to play, but right. Other than that, you got a healthy Ingram, a healthy Barkley, a healthy, you know, Kadarius Toney, and Slayton. So let's go. Let's see what the heck happens. And if we can protect him, you know, you mentioned the big left tackle coming back. If we can, you know, if the Giants can protect him, this dude's got a chance to carve up that Tampa Bay defense. This is not the Tampa defense we saw in the Super Bowl. So that's why I think the Giants 100% have a chance in this game.
Rex, before we let you go, the floor is yours. Anybody you want to go after, take shots at, try to make some
man,
some news
I'll go after anybody that I can help. If it'll help, then I'll go after somebody. no, who do you guys want me to go after? I'll do it.
I don't know. But, is there anybody on the plate that you'd like to go after? Dak Prescott,
one guy I'm definitely not going after is that big steward or whatever that yeah. LeBron went after. That's not going to happen. I'm not going after that dude.
Yeah, he was terrifying. That reaction was absolutely terrifying. Rex,
oh, my God, a beast.
Listen, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next Monday. Have a great, safe, happy Thanksgiving with your family, and we really appreciate you coming on with us every week.
All right, same to you guys.
Thank you. That, of course, is Rex Ryan, who now he's a big fan of Robert Saleh.
No, that's the worst, though, when you call somebody and you're hoping that they're a jerk, but they're actually a good dude. But I can't imagine. Like, I mean, the Tony Dungy example he brings up, that was Dungy criticized him, and he picked up the phone and called Tony Dungy.
Because he was annoyed at Dungy, right?
Exactly right. This wasn't Robert Saleh didn't pick up the phone and call Rex. I believe that someone got in Rex's ear, and Rex made the phone call. And now he was pleasantly surprised with how the phone call happened. I just don't understand why more head coaches don't do that, though. Like, I would be reaching out. I would use all those guys to ask questions.
But Robert Saleh's not going to call Rex and say, listen, you hate me, you think I'm awful, can you help me?
I'm saying
when you get the job doing that?
Yeah, exactly yeah. Right. Like, it's usually why most rookie head coaches have somebody, a coordinator or two on their staff that have been head coaches in the league because there's so much to deal. Like, listen, like, honestly, doing the NHL stuff with Torts on Fridays, like, and him explaining the amount of stuff that the head coach does that's not coaching, he's like, you barely get the coach.
Yeah,
he's
they
like,
got a lot on their plate, huh?
There's so much. Like, all the things he's got to do with media. And he's like, I barely get a chance to coach. So my assistant coaches are that much more important. And then as far as the long-term plan and everything else, you can tell me what you want. I mean, that you saw how the guys in that locker room reacted to Mike White. Do you tell me that just one game against that Buffalo Bills defense was enough for them to just completely
Right. Now a guy that you love, and there's discussion of, hey, if he's the better quarterback, we'll play this guy. He has one bad game, and now he's persona non grata. Now he can't even get out there on the field against a vaunted Miami defense. I agree with you. He should have been the quarterback this week.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.